Recorded Books in RB Digital present The Holy Road by Michael Blake, narrated by George Waddell. Chapter 1. The scalp was red and thick, but what made it especially extraordinary was its great length. It was the longest shock of hair anyone had ever seen, so long that its owner had to sit on the shoulders of another warrior to tie it to the rafters of his lodge. Had it not been tied so high, the hair would have dragged the ground, and people living in the lodge would have been forever brushing it aside, reducing it from a vaunted trophy of war to an unwanted, everyday annoyance. Still, it fell to a point about chest high, and Wind and his hair's wives grumbled about its presence from the moment it assumed a prominent place among the many other scalps hanging in their large home. The grumbling was something the wives did under their breath and out of earshot of their husband, for they knew that to complain openly about such a thing would cause unnecessary trouble. And it would be unfair to a husband who had sired so many healthy children, had unfailingly provided an abundance for his family, and was widely revered as the highest-ranking member of the elite warrior society known to all as the Hard Shields, the combat unit that viewed protection of the village and its people as their most sacred responsibility. They might challenge their husband on the proximity of the family lodge to water or the sleeping habits of the children, or the preparation of a feast, but they kept their misgivings about the white woman's scalp to themselves. How their husband displayed his souvenir, taken in honorable combat at the cost of his own disfigurement, was simply none of their business. Nor was it the business of anyone else in the village, and, like the wives of Wind in his hair, every member of the community kept his feelings about the scalp hidden from public view. But the unvoiced opinions only added to a sense of dread that had been growing steadily among them for years. The presence of the white woman's scalp in the village served as a constant reminder of the strange, unfathomable threat that had come to dominate their lives. It was the worst kind of threat a people can endure, an invisible horror that disturbs good sleep, confuses clear thinking, and makes the steadiest heart skip with odd little ripples of fear at what tomorrow might bring. Even Wind in his hair was not immune. In the deepest reaches of his instinctive, reactive soul, a soul as purely Comanche as any that had ever been born, he could feel occasional and upsetting echoes. He had always slept well, but in the last year he often woke inexplicably in the night, and sometimes, as he lay blinking in the dim light of his fire's embers, his eyes would pick up the outline of the long red-haired scalp, and he would wonder how many white people he might have to kill to safeguard the only life he knew. Having no answer grated against his mind, and it was only when he had reassured himself that an answer was not important, that his only responsibility in this life was to be a father, a husband, and a warrior without fear, could he turn on his side and let sleep descend once again. Chapter 2. Ten Bears, too, had trouble sleeping, a condition that had been unknown to him for most of his long life. The anxiety that dogged all of his band was a heavy burden for an old man, already weighted down with increasing infirmity. He could no longer ride, and when camp was moved, he was forced to travel like a piece of baggage sprawled on a travois. Having outlived half a dozen wives, the last of whom had died the spring before, he depended on his daughters to boil his meat and tend his fire. The eyes that had served him through so many snows were as hazy as twilight, and he knew that they would never grow brighter, only darker. He tired easily, and would doze between daily interviews, in which he arbitrated disputes, listened to complaints, offered advice, or fielded questions about news from the wider world. He talked less and less, preferring to meditate carefully on the words of others, before uttering brief, concise opinions packed with wisdom. As his sight diminished, his hearing seemed to grow sharper, so sharp, in fact, that he began to hear the words of others just as he heard the wind waving through the grass, or the percussive rhythms of rainfall.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?